This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And this episode, we're going to be answering questions. These are real questions that have come to us on Facebook, through different channels where we communicate with our friends and listeners and fans and all of those people.
And you are also free to put your questions down in the chat box at helenmelanie.com/radio.
That's right.
For us to answer your question.
Absolutely. So if you're listening to us live, we can try to answer you live. But, you know, at any time, if you want to post a question out on our Facebook page, you can reach us at Raising Real Men on Facebook and just send us a direct message, because we love to get questions. It lets us know what's on people's hearts and what they're wrestling with.
And if they want to put a message out there for everybody, that's a great option, because if you just post it to the page, I'll repost it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to hear what everybody thinks. There's a huge community of people discussing raising godly sons on our page.
Oh, gosh. What is
over 40,000 now.
Yeah, we're pushing 41,000 now, and that's just a remarkable number of people out there. So, and I've seen some very good responses. You know, people have asked some questions recently, and we kind of let the conversation run for a bit before we jump in, unless it's something really ticklish. And I tell you, I've seen some really good, wise, experienced advice come across there. So, you know, it's not just Hal and Melanie out there. There's a whole lot of experienced parents who are raising sons, and you want to tap into that, definitely.
It is good to be home, Hal. You know, we just got back from the Florida Parent Educators Association Conference down in Orlando. It was a great success, so much fun. But I'm glad to be home.
It is good. It's good to go, and it's good to return, you know. And we are blessed that we get to do both.
And next week we are headed up to Connecticut.
We are, because the Education Association of Christian Home Schools in Connecticut is having their spring conference in Hartford, actually in Southington. I believe that's the correct pronunciation, or Southington. I'm not sure how the New Englanders would prefer it. But anyway, it's in the greater Hartford area, and it's going to be Melanie and I and Carol Barnier.
And we love speaking with Carol. It's a lot of fun.
This is going to be a good nuts and bolts type of event.
And a couple of weeks after that, Alice, for the Teaching Diligently. Dallas, but half the United States.
Serious.
You can still get us to stop along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to get us to stop in when you don't have the money to bring us to your church or homeschool group. Let's deal with some questions.
Yes.
Nicole asked a question on our Facebook page today.
Mm-hmm.
She said, lying is not tolerated in our home. But we found that our six-year-old son has begun doing that a lot. His brother follows.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys handle the lying issue with your own children?
You know, we got another question just recently on Facebook with a mother of four boys. Her oldest is, 9 years old.
Yeah.
And she said he is very lazy. Where have we seen this before? And can be disrespectful. And here's the crucial thing. He lies constantly. She says we always have to check up every single thing that comes out of his mouth, because we can't trust what he says.
It's a common problem, and it's a critical issue.
Yeah.
Because if you can't trust what they're saying to you, if you don't know what's really going on, first of all, it's a danger to them. You know, we've been hearing some horrible stories lately of boys getting into trouble with the internet and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be able to ask your children what's going on and hear a truthful answer for their protection.
Yeah, and it's like obedience, you know, that if you can't give an instruction to a child that might get them out of the way of traffic, that might rescue them from danger somehow, to say, look out, don't touch, step back, whatever it is, if you can't give an instruction and your child be used to following what you tell them, then you can have some really tragic results. And so, you know, lying is a very crucial thing. It's one of those fundamental integrity issues, because a man who is not trustworthy, a man who is intentionally deceitful, is going to be a detriment to everybody that he has contact with. You know, he's going to be an unreliable employee. He's going to be an unreliable husband or parent or whatever other role he's in.
And yet it's not at all uncommon for that 6 to 9 year old range to just fudge the truth all over the place. I remember one of ours that about drove me crazy doing it.
Mm.
And so how do we deal with it? Well, you've got to deal with, you know, this is always warranted, whatever the most serious punishment in our house is.
Yeah.
Because, it's just, it's a foundation of trust in our the parent-child relationship.
Well, foundationally, I do think we do need to acknowledge that small children don't have a good grip on reality. I mean, when you're talking to a three-year-old, four-year-old.
They may not know what the truth is.
They transition back and forth between real world and the land of make-believe all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And those years are times when you really need to be saying, well, no, that's not exactly the way it is, and correct them gently to give them some perspective. Hey, this is their one of the radio talk show hosts says realityville. Okay.
Yes.
We're going to get you back in touch with the real world. But, it's different when you're dealing with that little person who honestly doesn't understand. When they get to be, that 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old range, a lot of times, young people are experimenting. They're thinking, I haven't tried that. Let me see what happens if I just make it up.
And whammo, disaster needs to happen right away. They need to find out right away, that does not work. That's going to get me in worse trouble than whatever I was trying to avoid.
That was one of our fundamental rules with all of our guys, and we will continue it, is that if you do something wrong, you may deserve correction, punishment, consequences, whatever. But if you lie about it, that puts it all the way to the firewall.
Yeah,
the lying is oftentimes...
But, one thing is, if you've got a child who's consistently lying,
mm-hmm.
who's lying a lot, this is not a one-time problem. Yeah, you need to deal with the individual lies
mm-hmm.
with some pretty strict punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be that you need something more long-term. Like, I remember one of ours that just was driving me crazy with it when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, look, if I cannot trust you to tell me what is going on when I can't look at you, then guess what? I'm going to look at you all the time.
Ooh, you mean they're never going to get out of your sight?
That's right. Intense discipleship.
You mean like they may not be allowed to go do things like their other siblings because you can't trust them?
Right. That means you stay in the room with me
mm-hmm.
for a period of time. And that's a pretty harsh punishment to a lot of kids because they want to go do – they don't want to be in the kitchen while mom is cleaning up and cooking.
Mm-mm.
They don't want to be – standing outside the bathroom while mom's in the bathroom. They don't, they don't want to be following mom around. But it's a good thing, too, because That gives you a chance to talk to that child more and to build into their lives more.
I'll tell you what, another thing that kind of comes to my mind is oftentimes our children are following our example. And I hate to say it, but, how many times do I see my children doing something that really gets under my skin, and I have to say, and there I am, without the polish to kind of scoot around and pretend.
Yeah.
That they are doing blatantly what I am doing in my heart all the time. Or, sometimes our kids see us fudge the truth. And it may not be to our kids, but maybe they see that we didn't tell the truth if we got stopped in traffic by a policeman. Or that we play kind of quick with...
Tell them I'm not home.
Or maybe somebody gives us too much change and we say, whoa, we got a bonus. And they see that we're not that concerned about truth mm-hmm. and integrity and honesty. So all it is a matter of degree. How much can I get away with?
So we've got to be a good example.
That's always the case.
But, yeah, I think individually...
Yeah.
With it, but if you've got it going on it for consistently, keep them close to you, keep them nearby.
One of the mothers sent us a much longer note, and she lying was just one of several things she was dealing with. And I recommended some resources that we found very helpful. One of the best is the Forster's book for Instruction in Righteousness.
Oh, that's great. Because you know, when they start, when you look at it and you say, good grief, my children are always lying, or good grief, my children are always bickering. You know, when I find myself saying that, I reach behind me, I can see it on the shelf right there, and pull down for instruction and righteousness, and I turn to that sin in it, and I'll say, okay, everybody get your Bibles. You read this verse, you read that verse, you read this verse. And we just start reading what the Word of God says about that sin.
Because the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword.
I tell you what, it reaches them way more than my mouth does.
It's funny how that happens. It's remarkable to watch.
Yeah, it is. Because nearly always, before we reach the end of the verses they have in that book, people are repenting. They're saying, you know, I need to repent. Mom, I need to apologize.
You know, the Holy Spirit is so much more convincing than I am.
That's the truth.
Yeah, so that's a really good resource, and it's available at doorpost.com. I just that's not an advertisement. I'm just saying it's good. We really recommend it. Also, you know, one of the things that's very good to us is Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart.
It's good.
Because it's not a book about checklists. It's about the principle of teaching the young believer or the young unbeliever's heart.
Yeah.
Really getting into the center of their being and not saying, I'm gonna teach you to behave out of fear. I'm gonna teach you to follow my checklist to gain my approval or to avoid my punishment. But rather, let's really nurture that child and grow them into the kind of character that we want, not just behavior, but deep down character.
The lady there mentioned one of the question you mentioned, she has a 9 to 11 year old.
Yes.
And that she also brought up that he's disrespectful and has a lot of anger. A lot of the questions we got the other night, you remember we did a Facebook party with Teach Them Diligently.
Yes, we did.
And like we had 200 questions posted to our wall. That's what prompted this. And I'd say probably a fourth of the questions were dealing with anger in boys.
You know, that is a fundamental thing that boys deal with. You know, that God created men with a variety of different things that they are, you know, empowered to do and to be. And part of that is aggression, forcefulness, strength. And when it's not submitted to Christ, you know, it can turn into anger.
And rage.
Bullying. It can turn into all
smart mouth.
It can turn into lots of bad things. And you know, with our young people, God puts these manly virtues in them in an immature form, and it's our task as their parents to cultivate them and to teach them how to manage these things and to use them for the good of mankind and for the glory of God.
But then inner hormones.
And
that really blew me away, Hal, because, you know, I was expecting hormonal teenagers when I would see little peach fuzz and their voices would crack.
Yeah.
But the worst of the hormones came before that.
Yes.
It came, you know, in that 9 to 13 or 14 range before they started really changing physically. Wow.
Visibly, we'll say, because there is
a physical change, but before they start visibly changing. And they have these huge ups and downs, mainly between rage and sadness. And they couldn't understand what was going on. It was their hormones. You know, they have too much testosterone, too little, too much, too little.
Yeah.
But they thought that it was based on reality. So they'd look around. You know, every time I felt mad before, somebody was mean to me. I'm looking around, looking to see if I see anybody. You, it must be you. You did it.
You're the only person in sight. Therefore, you must be the cause of this anger I'm feeling.
Well,
and so I'm going to react. And you know what? When we react to that, we're perfectly happy and innocent, and our minds are somewhere else. And this incredible Hulk blows up at the end of the couch. And we react because, guess what? He just laid into us. He just attacked us, and we feel, you know, it at war. We feel like we have been abused in some way.
And so we react defensively and in anger back, and that just makes it ever so much worse.
The little green monster down there says, see, I knew it was you.
Yeah.
You know, we just proved it to him, even though he actually started it.
And so the key for dealing with the anger is you've got to be the adult around here because they're certainly not going to be. So you
remember
gotta
that.
Keep
Take that away, parents. Somebody's got to be the grown-up.
And it's not going to be your child.
No, and you are the one who's chosen for that.
And so you've got to control your temper and keep your temper down and sit down and listen to what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, show value in the relationship. Listen to what they have to say and then bring them to the Word of God and show them what's really going on in their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's really hard to keep your temper and not to flare back at them. Because sometimes they're spouting complete nonsense.
Oh, it is.
Crazy stuff.
Absolutely.
Like, I remember one of our sitting in a family meeting.
Mm.
And we're famous for family meetings, folks. We have family meetings about everything.
Right.
We're sitting in a family meeting, and he, like, kind of looks like he's going to tear his hair. And he says, I can't stand the anger in here. And we all look around. Huh?
Yeah. There's only one focus of anger in the room, and it's sitting right there complaining about the anger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. You can't see the picture when you're inside the frame.
Hal, I see you about to queue up a radio spot.
You know what?
We need a station break, but don't do it. You know what?
What?
Instead of queuing up, why don't we tell them about Boot Camp 9 to 12?
Well, okay, let's tell them about that, because you know what? This is one of the things. So many of the questions we get are from parents whose oldest son has hit these pre-adolescent years. And
at least half the questions we get.
And guess what? They are just like we were at that time. They are clueless, and they are confused, and they're worried because, you know what, that sweet-tempered, compliant, obedient, diligent young man suddenly just went nuts.
Lost his mind.
His brain's turned to mush, and he can't focus on school, and you can't give him...
He can't focus on school if you ask him to go get your car keys. Mm-hmm. You'll find him 45 minutes later wandering around the house clueless.
It's like, boy, senility set in early on this one. Wow,
it's like the shades are up and nobody's home.
Yes, okay. And you know what? And the spiritual questions, oh, my word, that was the scary part.
It really
you know what?
Was.
Guess what? That is normal, but nobody prepared us for that. So we started talking about it a few years ago. We have a 5-week seminar that we do online, one evening a week.
It's live,
it's
but
live.
If you can't show up live, it's all recorded.
Yeah, and so you don't miss it.
And it's not just slides. It's slides and video and chat and
right.
audio. It's like
mm-hmm.
multi-sensory. It's really fun.
Yes. Okay.
And you know what? We're starting a new one in July.
Yes, we are.
We're starting a new one in July. It's called Boot Camp 9 to 12. And you can go online and find out about it
mm-hmm.
at raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp.
That's right.
It's all the things we wish we had known
yes.
when our children were 9 to 13.
And one little bonus announcement here. We also do this as a live weekend event on site. We
yes.
did this in Kansas City earlier this year.
Blast.
We are talking with some other locations for later this year. If you'd like for us to come to a weekend event there at your church, or at your sponsored by your support group, or even your state organization of some sort.
Yeah, just let
us know. Drop us a line at info@raisingrealmen.com. Okay, so
let's get back to
some questions. Yeah.
There was a good question you had up there just a second ago.
Yeah, let me pull this one back up. Are you thinking this first one here?
No, I was looking at this.
Oh.
A mom said she has a 7-year-old boy who's very affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
He's very clingy. He's their only child. They live in a rural setting. Dad's worried it's getting out of hand.
Yeah.
But the mother has feelings of rejection from her own mother and doesn't want to break her son's heart.
You know, we bring our baggage into our relationships. Our marriages, our parenting, so much of it is, I won't say a reaction, but a response to
yeah.
our own experience.
I'll tell you my theory. I don't think you can outlove kids. I don't think
you
a mom...
You can't love them too much?
I don't think you can love them too much.
Right.
I think you can under-discipline, but I don't think
well,
you can over-love.
That's the same as love.
I don't, yes, but people confuse it.
Okay.
But I don't think you can over-love a child. And, you know, my feeling is if he's clingy...
Mm-hmm.
And he wants his mom's attention and affection, give it to him. But if you also want to encourage the independence, then every little step he makes toward independence, praise it.
You know, we had a similar question that showed up during the Facebook event the other night. And one of our local friends that we've had some interaction with before came back with an answer which I thought was brilliant. This other mother had a similar situation. Her son had separation issues, you know, and you see that, you expect it in a 3-year-old, but now when he's like 8 and he like doesn't want mom out of sight, you know, this can be very awkward. It's going to be very difficult for a family just to manage logistically. And what our friend said was, you know what, we had a son just like that, and this is what we did. We started setting up can't miss opportunities where Dad's going to go to the playground and get some ice cream. Would you like to go? You know?
Yeah.
To suddenly, so that he was leaving mom.
Yes.
So there was a separation, but it wasn't like, mom's left me, but rather, hey, I'm going to go do something. And, oh, I guess mom is at home, isn't she? And he got him used to that idea of being away and out of sight from his mother and slowly built it up, you know, short things, short little errands, and always something that had a little benefit, like just like that, you know, hey, Dad's going to go get some ice cream. Do you want to get some with him?
That's a good idea. You know, incentivizing the independence.
Yeah. Because,
and, you know, and even like the cleanliness, I've dealt with cleaning. We have one that is really, really clingy. Now, and I look back and I can see why. You know, she had a very rough infancy. You know,
yeah.
She was very sick as an infant.
There was a tough start.
But she was extremely clingy. And, you know, one thing that I found useful is to praise when she finds something to do on her own. And it may just be 5 minutes that say, you know what, you're really growing up. It's amazing to see you over there doing that yourself. I'm so proud of you.
That's good.
And because praise is a underused and very important parenting tool.
Yeah.
Especially for boys because they crave respect.
They do. Well, and you know, let me go back to that baggage thing. You know, I think one of the things we have to remember is that our children are not us. We have raised our children differently than we were raised. I mean, we can't avoid doing it differently. So their circumstances, their makeup, the environmental part of their makeup is going to be different than ours was. So we bring our experience in and we use that wisely. We use that to advise us, but don't think that that's the definition. You know, we've seen on the opposite end, we've seen this kind of thing show up with parents who are having trouble letting their children grow up and leave home because when they were young, they were rebellious teenagers and they got into so much trouble. And so they've over-controlled their kids thinking, if I don't control everything they do, they're going to go into the same ditch as I fell into.
Yeah.
Not realizing, guess what? Your kids grew up in a different family. You have raised them differently and trained them to avoid, to make better choices than you did.
And you may not have to worry about the same thing.
That's right. And so use that experience, but always keep in mind that you're dealing with somebody different than you were or than your spouse was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Mother of three boys, age five and younger, she says, I'd not planned on introducing our children as superheroes, but lately our older sons have been asking, how come my friends watch Spider-Man and we don't? We feel as if we shouldn't expose them to these cartoons, but we want this decision to affect our relationship with them in the future, since it seems like all the little boys around us watch them.
Well, okay. You know, my first thing I would say on that is, Mom, your oldest child is 5 years old, and you haven't seen that what happens when they're 5 years old is may not rock their world when they're 15 or 20.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't think you need to worry so much about the relationship, but... You explain your reasoning. And sometimes, sit and think about it, because sometimes we don't allow things and then find out that maybe it was okay. I think there's a lot of moms who come up to us and say, oh, I don't let my child play with toy guns.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when we question about why, they, you know, they're uncomfortable with it, but they fail to realize that, you know, there are useful and godly uses of it. And so sometimes they rethink it. So I think the first thing is you examine your decision. You say, do I have good reasons for making this decision?
Yeah, I think that's a very good thing.
And then you sit down and explain, you know, I know it's hard when all your friends are talking about this and you don't really know what they're talking about, but this is why we've made this decision.
Yeah, and explain it to them. Give them some ways to interact with that, you know, role play some things. Say, you know what, if your friends are pestering you about this, you can suggest other things to talk about. You can suggest a game to play, or you can, you know, give them some ways
to
respond and save face.
Another option, if you have something that's like on the line, there's not, you know, you may think, well, my child's not really quite ready for all these issues, but this is okay. One thing that I found possible is to preview and to find maybe an episode that is okay and say, okay, you can watch this with me. I'm not going to let you watch the rest of these because I don't think they're appropriate for the age you are. But you can watch this with me, and that gives them something to talk about with their friends.
And you know what? That is not just a 5-year-old thing.
Sometimes
it's
a 15-year-old thing.
We've had some precocious readers in this family, and we had to be real careful about what they got because, you know, they're – way above their age level and their maturity level.
Well, if you've got a 13-year-old, a 13-year-old can certainly read The Hunt for Red October.
Uh-huh. Right.
Fantastic book by Tom Clancy.
Yes.
But there are Tom Clancy's I wouldn't recommend an adult read.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so, you know, this one is not.
It, sometimes you have something that's in, you know, that it may be permissible. I'm not comfortable with it. One thing you can do is you can watch it with them.
Yeah.
Or you can read it with them. And, yeah.
They get older.
Especially as they're getting into their teenage years, to say, now, let's look at this and, you know what, that's about teaching discernment.
Yeah, it really
is. And we've got a workshop on that, by the way. If you're interested, we have a workshop called Teaching Discernment.
Yeah, raisingourmen.com/CDs Go to CDs and you'll find it.
Yeah, go to our store.
Click on Family Life.
Right. And but, you know, show your children, all right, this is what I'm seeing when I'm watching this. Because our kids, even more so than we do, our kids get blown away by the special effects and the music and the and action.
Yeah, like I remember, I love to go to see superhero movies. I'm a mother boy.
You were bred to be a boy.
And I remember sitting, talking to some homeschool teens, and they were talking about this particular one. They said, oh, it was so cool. And I said, what are you talking about? It was terrible. The theme was horrible. And they were like, what?
They were not watching critically.
No, they weren't. And they needed their parents to teach them. You know what? We've got time for one more question. Let's find a question and ask it.
Okay. Well, here's one, and maybe we can make a quick answer to this. Maybe not. What do you think? Can we do this in 3 minutes?
We'll try.
Okay. Someone wrote, I would like to know if you have direction, resources, or wisdom on balancing confidence and humility for our boys.
It ain't easy.
No, it's not easy. And you know what? Sorting that out is part of growing up. You know, it's not something that you can say, well, here's the whole package and it's right. A lot of it, it's like social interaction. You have to kind of go through it, walk through the thing with them and say, son, you know, you're able to do this. You ought to step up there and volunteer, or you ought to sign up for this and give it a try. That builds confidence. But at the same time, you need to coach them. Son, you need to pipe down somewhat. You were in that group of people with older students or with adults, and you shouldn't be talking so much, because guess what? The world is not anxious for the wisdom of a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, and so you have to coach them through a lot
Lots
of this.
Lots of coaching.
Right.
And when you see arrogance, call it down.
That is true.
You know, when you see arrogance, say, son, you know what? We've got to remember that we are but dust. Mm-hmm. We've got to remember we're sinners and we're saved by grace. It's not due to any goodness in us.
Yeah.
And remind them of that and teach them. But I think the coaching is probably the most important part, is just keeping an eye on how they're carrying themselves. And sometimes you're going to have to say, son, you know what? You don't need humility in this area. You need confidence. Because, like, we have a son who is such a gifted speaker and humorist.
Yes.
I mean, tremendously gifted.
Right.
And yet he's embarrassed to let us videotape him or speak in public, because he has, you know, he's unsure. It's not really humility so much as, you know, a lack of self-respect and self-esteem.
Yeah.
He needs to be encouraged to have confidence.
Yeah.
You know, he has a gifting that needs to be used for God.
Well, it's one of the things is we talk with a lot of people who God has given them a message, but they're really uncertain about speaking in public. And we tell them, you know what? When you go to speak in public, in most situations, people are there because they want to hear you, you know?
Now, that's what cured my shyness about speaking in public.
I mean, they wouldn't be there if they didn't want to hear what you had to say. So you can step up, you can make yourself confident in that to say, you know, I'm not forcing anything on them, you know?
And they need to hear what I've got to share.
And you know what? God has created each of our sons for a particular purpose in life, given them particular gifts. And they need to step up and work through how to express them.
And one of the best things you can do toward making your son a leader
is
give him practice in speaking in public, because it's something that keeps many, many people away from leadership that it really shouldn't, because speaking in public is no different from talking to a friend. You just need to know what you've got, what your message is, and share it in order to help someone.
That's true. Well, it looks like we are about out of time, so we just want to invite you. First off, come back and listen to us again. We're here every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, or you can hit us on the replay, on the archives, the library, on our website.
HalandMelanie.com/radio.
Right, or the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Go to our show page there. You can just click on our smiling faces there on the front page. And also, as we said at the start of the program, June 14th, Saturday, Hartford, Connecticut area, just south of Hartford. We're going to be speaking at the Spring Conference hosted by the Education Association of Christian Home Schools there with Karen Barnier. Okay, so we hope we can see some of you there. And then 2 weeks later, we're going to be down in Dallas at the Sheraton for Teach Them Diligently, and this is going to be a great event. So we hope that if you're in Texas or a neighboring state, we might see some of you. And if you heard about us on the radio, how about let us know? Okay?
Join us on the web at RaisingRealMen.com and all over social media.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.